Two strips of film tumbled through the air to form the logo for New Line Cinema, a Turner company. New Line Productions presents, in association with Dark Horse Entertainment, a Charles Russell film, Jim Carrey, the dreary grey skyline of Edge City stretches into the smoggy distance alongside a grim coastline. In the depths of the sea, a scuba diver finds an old rusty chest buried beneath some rocks with an image of a face etched on the lid. Using a tool, the diver attempts to break the metal chain wrapped around the lid whilst his co-workers lower a section of pipe into the water. As he breaks the chain, the pipe slips from its harness and lands on the diver, pinning him to the seabed. The chest lid opens, releasing a sudden rush of bubbles and a wooden mask painted pale green with a long shaft running from the forehead to the nose. The mask. Stanley Ipkiss, a goofy-looking young man with a huge grin, is working at Edge City Bank. He opens a desk drawer containing some Looney Tunes comic books and pulls out two tickets.
I got those concert tickets you wanted.
You're kidding. For Friday night? Stanley, this is great.
Oh, yeah.
So what time should I pick you up?
Well, see, here's the thing. My very best girlfriend just came into town, and I know she would die to go to this. So could we maybe get an extra ticket for her?
They're out. They're sold out. That means there's no more.
Oh. Well, I just can't let her sit home all alone.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just go with your friend?
Mrs. Stanley, I couldn't do that.
No, come on.
Stanley, you are the nicest guy. Really, you are.
Yeah.
Charlie, isn't Stanley the nicest guy?
The best. Oh, that was the most sickening display I've ever seen.
I disagree. I think I'm wearing her down.
Buddy, you know what you need? You need a little change of pace. Tonight, I'm gonna take you on a love safari, deep into the darkest heart of the urban jungle.
Tell me more, Buona.
The Coco Bongo Club, hottest new joint in town. Only the creme de la creme need apply.
So how do we get in?
What are you kidding? Leave it to me. Trust me, buddy. Yeah. This is going to be the perfect night on the town.
They look up at the ominous flash of lightning. A woman rushes into the foyer out of the pouring rain.
Hold the phone. Killer at 3:00.
They stare with slack jaws as the curvaceous woman bends over to fasten her stilettos. She straightens up, her lipstick red dress hugging her voluptuous breasts, and swishes her blonde hair from side to side. They stare in wonder at the stunning woman as she sashays towards them.
Stand back and observe. New accounts right here. You know, you're lucky you caught me. I was just on my way out to a
Could
very...
Could you hold this for me, please?
I will hold anything you want.
Thank you. Can you help me?
She sits at Stanley's desk, leaving Charlie holding her coat. He plunges his face into the jacket and takes a long, lingering sniff. The woman smiles to herself as Stanley fumbles around his desk, getting increasingly flustered. He slams his drawer, then composes himself.
So, what kind of account do you have in mind?
I'm not sure exactly. You see, I'm just terrible with things like that. That's an interesting time, Mr.
Ipkiss. Stanley Ipkiss.
Tina Carlyle, pleased to meet you.
The pleasure's all mine.
May I?
May what?
Such a mess.
Oh, of course. That's what they're there for.
She takes a tissue.
As I was saying about that tie, kind of reminds me of one of those, what do you call it, inkblot tests.
Rorschach test.
Right. You know, it sort of looks like, a young woman riding bareback. Sort of a Lady Godiva or something.
Of course.
What do you see, Mr. Incus?
He coyly pulls the tie back from Tina's grasp and makes a humorous gesture with it as if it were his tongue.
Bright colors. It's a power tie. It's supposed to make you feel powerful.
Does it work?
She crosses her long, smooth legs.
Now, how about that account, huh? We have several different plans. Caden.
Distracted, he sharpens his pen instead of his pencil.
Checking. Savings and checking. CDs. Savings and CDs. Checking and CDs. Savings, checking and CDs. T-bills. Or we could just take all your money and throw it in a big mattress back there.
She's secretly filming the bank vault.
Now I have some forms you'll have to fill out.
Sinister gangster Dorian Tyrell is watching the camera footage.
That's it, sweetheart. Now just a little bit to the right here.
Hey, will you guys keep it down back there?
No problem.
So what do you think?
Layout's not bad, but them motion detectors are a pain in the ass.
But you can pull this off, right?
Hey, you talking to the doctor. I do have one question.
Which is?
What does Nico have to say about all this?
Nothing. This ain't his grift, man.
Get real, man. Everything is his grift. He owns you, he owns this club, he owns this whole stinking town.
Things change.
You mess with Nico, you end up taking a dirt nap.
He's the only one who's napping. And I'm about to give him a serious wake-up call. But we need some cash. So first we take the bank, then we take Nico, and then my friend's school is out. And this whole city is our playground.
Stanley's crossing the street. He stumbles backwards, bumping into a parked car, then heads into a garage, tripping as he comes through the door.
In a twist, would you? Hey, Bert,
what the hell is it?
Oh, I don't know. About $700, sir. what can I do for you, Papa?
I'm here for the Civic. The brake drums are shot, and you need a new transmission.
What? All I wanted was an oil change.
Well, you're lucky you caught these problems now before they cause you some serious trouble. Sign right here and press down hard.
There's no price.
There will be.
I don't have a car. I have to have a car tonight.
Hey, yo! Bring around the loner.
The loner?
The loner.
The neon-lit facade of the Coco Bongo Club. A crowd milling about outside, waiting to get in. A swanky car drives up outside the entrance. The passenger gets out and a valet gets in and drives it away. Stanley drives up in an old rust heap of a car, the body a dirty copper brown, inviting disgusted sneers. He gets out.
It's a classic!
As the valet puts the car in gear, Stanley gives it a helpful push to move it along.
Charlie!
Stanley! Gals, want to meet my buddy, Stanley Ipkiss? Humongo in the banking business. No. Hey, what do you say we get in this joint, huh? Yo, Bobby! How you doing, buddy?
It's Charlie!
Hey, Charlie, how you
how
doing?
How are you? How you doing,
long
my
time
friend?
No see.
Hey, good to see you. Okay, then. Come on, gals.
Stay on the inside.
Bobby? Charlie!
They go in without him.
Mistake.
Whoa! You cross the rope. Never cross the rope.
No, but my friends are on the inside.
Lose them.
Hey, come on now, guys. Now, this is fair. Hey, watch it. I'm a bleeder. You put me down right now, or I am never coming back here. Ha! Oh!
Man, you're really flying. Grimacing, he rises to his knees, noticing a wet patch on his jacket.
Oh, jeez.
A white limousine drives past, splashing him even more. He looks round as Tina gets out of the limo.
Mr. Ipkiss, hi.
Hi.
You okay?
Me? I'm great. Really good. I just never felt better, really. I'm just catching some air out here.
Your car, sir.
That's not my car.
But it matches the ticket.
Reluctantly, he takes the ticket.
All right. I'll take it. But I am very angry. Leave it. You're driving in a Porsche.
She waves goodbye, smiling. Stanley drives across a deserted city bridge, the car stuttering to a halt as it gets halfway across. White smoke pours out of the bonnet. He hits his head frustratedly on the steering wheel. He gets out of the car. He goes round to the front and reaches to open the bonnet, but flinches at the hot metal. He kicks the car and immediately falls on his backside. He leaps to his feet and watches as the car falls apart, the rear door falling off and the suspension caving in. He gives the car a dismissive wave, then trudges over to the edge of the bridge. He leans on the railing, then glances up at the sky. He sighs dispiritedly. He flinches at the thunder, then notices something vaguely body-shaped floating in the water below. He finds his way down the side of the bridge and scrambles into the water. He grabs the floating mass and realizes that it's just a tangle of rubbish, leaves and plastic bags. He throws them down, then notices the mask amongst the rubbish. He holds it, picking some sodden paper off its face, then stares at it curiously. A ripple of mysterious light briefly flickers over the mask, and Stanley finds himself transfixed by the strange object, as though in a trance. He raises it towards his face.
Hey, you! What are you doing down there?
A policeman.
I'm just looking for my mask! I got it!
Stanley trudges up the stairs of his apartment building, leaving wet footprints behind him. An apartment door marked manager is flung open.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
Actually, no.
My new carpet! Well, this is coming right out of your security deposit, Ipkiss.
You know, Mrs. Peenman?
What?
He seethes.
Nothing. Well, that's what you are, Ipkiss, a big nothing.
She storms into her apartment.
Aren't you due back at the laboratory to get your bolts tightened? I should have said that.
Stanley squelches into his apartment, and a small dog scampers over to him and jumps up on his legs.
Hey, you. Milo. know you're not supposed to jump up? No. It's against doggy ordinance.
He puts the mask on a table beside a computer while Milo grabs a frisbee in his mouth. Stanley picks up a cartoon video entitled Tex Avery's Screwball Classics 2 and puts it on. On the TV, a cartoon wolf in a dinner jacket whistles salaciously, then bangs a chair frenetically onto the table. Milo paws at him.
What do you want? You want me to throw that? I'm very tired. Okay, I'll throw it one time. I'm gonna throw it with you attached to it. Ow!
As he pulls the disc, it hits him on the nose.
Ready? Get it! All right, Mrs. Peenman!
Stanley changes the channel.
So, Dr. Newman, you're saying that everybody wears a mask?
That's correct, Wendy. We all wear masks, metaphorically speaking. We suppress the id, our darkest desires, and adopt a more socially acceptable image.
Well, the book is, of course, The Masks We Wear by Dr. Arthur Newman. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Milo's growling at the mask.
What's the matter with you? What is it? What are you looking for, huh? You like this thing? You like it? The masks we wear.
He stands in front of a mirror.
That's correct, Wendy. We all wear masks, metaphorically speaking.
He puts the mask to his face.
Yeah, right.
For a second, the mask seemed to shrink wrap itself around his face, and Stanley quickly pulls it away. He holds it at arm's length, and an eerie green light briefly ripples across its surface. Stanley raises the mask to his face. It clamps onto his face, the wood growing around his head and locking into place. The mask pulses and throbs, tendrils of glowing green energy spreading across the surface. Stanley spins through the room like a tornado, knocking over lamps, blowing newspapers through the air, and then stops, revealing a suave, bald, green-faced creature.
Spoken! It's party time! P-A-R-T. Why? Because I gotta!
He zips out of the apartment. He's wearing a flamboyant dark red jacket and matching trousers. He saunters over to Mrs. Peenman's door, where a sign says, Quiet, please. He takes long, creeping strides down the hallway, when suddenly an alarm clock leaps out of his pocket. It bounces across the hallway, and the mask tries to grab it. He pulls out a huge wooden croquet mallet from his pocket, and the alarm clock quivers in terror. He swings at it. The alarm clock flips all over the place, then the mask manages to land a fatal blow.
Snooze.
Mrs. Peenman comes out and screams. The mask's eyes and tongue pop out of his head in cartoonish shock, then his eyeballs spin round in their sockets. Mrs. Peenman fires at him with a shotgun, and the mask bounces down the hallway like a human spring before diving through a window. He plunges several stories, then splats onto the road, flat as a pancake. He peels himself off the ground.
Look, Ma! I'm roadkill! Ha ha ha!
He stands up and inflates himself back to normal shape.
I think he wants to communicate.
The mask takes out a horn with Squeeze Me Gently written on it. He squeezes it and the horn inflates cartoonishly, a tongue lapping out of it and the car's windows smashing. The mask saunters on down the street.
Hey, mister! You got the time?
As a matter of fact, I do, Cubby.
You wanna take him?
Look at that!
It's exactly 2 seconds before I honk your nose and pull your underwear over your head.
The mask does as he promised, then shoves the punk aside. The mask's dressed as a carnival barker.
Step right up here! Don't be shy! Nobody likes a bashful letterhead! Move it! For my first trick,
I'd like to do something for you, son.
He makes a balloon animal.
We have a giraffe. There you go, son. I got out of here. You're bothering.
Thanks.
Wow.
Now. Sorry, wrong pocket. For you, son. A little body English.
He makes another.
A French poodle. Sorry, son. The dog was rabid. Had to put it down. And last but not least, my favorite.
He manipulates a long black balloon, licking its length, then twisting it into a gun shape, which he then points at the gang.
A Tommy gun!
He fires at the hoodlums and they run away in panic, one of them diving into a dustbin. The mask tosses aside the gun.
This is incredible. With these powers, I could be...
a superhero!
I could fight crime, protect the innocent.
Work for world peace!
But first...
at the garage...
Hold on to your lug nuts! It's time for an overhaul!
Holding two long exhaust pipes, he spins around like a tornado and hurtles towards the terrified mechanics. The next day, the sun rises over the city. Stanley's asleep in bed. He leans up, rubbing his face tiredly. Suddenly, he looks uneasy as he remembers the night before, and he gets out of bed and dashes to the mirror. He touches his face, then picks up the mask.
What's a dream? What's a dream?
He answers the door. It's a man in a suit.
Ipkiss? Stanley Ipkiss?
Yes.
Lieutenant Kellaway, City Precinct. Do you know anything about the disturbance last night?
Disturbance?
Yeah, some kind of prowler broke in and attacked Mrs. Peenman. You didn't hear anything? She unloaded a couple of rounds of 20-aught buckshot 5 feet from your door.
Right
out the window.
Officer.
Right out the
window. Are you riding out? This is impossible.
Those pajamas are impossible. This actually happened.
See, I have an inner ear problem. Sometimes I can't hear anything.
That a fact?
Eh?
Here's my card. If you remember anything unusual about last night, anything at all, call me.
You betcha. Thank you, and good luck cracking the case.
Lieutenant Kellaway wanders off, and Stanley closes the door and cups his hand over his mouth with a stunned expression. He notices the time. It's almost 7:45.
Oh, my God.
Late!
Keys, keys. Where's the keys?
Damn. Milo, get the keys. Get him! Find him! Get the keys!
Stanley shuts his briefcase, then bangs his knee on the coffee table.
Ow! Jeez! So late. Good boy! Come on, Milo. Drop it!
Stanley takes the keys out of Milo's mouth, then notices the mask on the pillow of his bed. He picks it up, stares at it apprehensively for a moment, then tosses it out of the window. It sails through the air, then as Stanley heads out of his apartment, it flies back in through the window. A mechanic's got an exhaust pipe sticking from his bottom.
I want a proctologist standing by.
What?
You heard me. Best one you can find.
I'm with the Evening Star. Can you tell me what happened here?
No, and you can quote me.
Well, it looks like some sort of mob tactic.
There it is, boys. She broke the case. Come on, get these rubbernecks out of here.
As the policeman ushers the crowd away, the reporter, Peggy, sneaks past.
Hey, Stan. Where were you last night? The girls and I were looking all over for you.
Did you happen to look outside? In the gutter?
Hey, did you check the morning paper? Your girlfriend got a great review. Ipkiss, you're 40 minutes late. Now, that's the same as stealing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dickey. It'll never happen again. I've been a jerk.
Well, if you weren't busy oogling girly pictures, you might actually get some work done around here. Sir, she's a prospective client of Stanley's. Oh, really?
He looks at the picture.
Well, the next time she comes in, you be sure to send her to my office.
Oh, you betcha.
Mr. Dickey walks away.
Gee, I wish my daddy owned a bank. Then I could be a rich little creep, too.
You think she'll ever come back, Charlie?
Oh, man, forget her. Stanley, listen to me. A girl like that is always looking for the BBD, the bigger, better deal.
You don't know that, Charlie. She's an artist. She's sensitive.
Stanley, forget her. That girl will tear out your heart, put it in a blender, and hit frappe. You don't need her, man. You need somebody a little more down to earth. Somebody with some integrity. Somebody with red hair and full pouting lips, a white blouse, a green jacket, and a name tag.
Well, you really narrowed it down.
Too bad she's already taken.
It's Peggy.
Hello there. May I be of some assistance?
Stanley Ipkiss.
He points to Stanley.
Oh, hi. I'm Peggy Brandt from the Tribune.
Oh, hi. Look, I canceled my subscription because they kept stealing my paper from...
Oh, no, no. Actually, I just want to ask you a few questions.
Really? About what?
Ripley Auto Finishing. You're a customer of theirs, aren't you?
He looks uneasy.
Me? No. I don't even have a car. You know, because they pollute.
You don't own an 89 Civic?
Oh, that car, yeah. Yeah. It's all coming back to me. Miss, what'd you say your name was?
Peggy Brandt.
Wait a minute. Peggy Brandt? Of Ask Peggy?
Yeah, that's right.
You printed one of my letters last year. Remember? Nice guys finish last.
You're Mr. Nice Guy?
Yes!
Oh, Stanley, do you realize how much mail we got about that letter? I mean, there are literally hundreds of women out there looking for a guy just like you.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to find a decent man in this town? Most of them think monogamy's some kind of wood. Ah!
So, why are you covering this story?
Because Dear Peggy pays Dick. Oh. I'm starving to death. I'm looking to become a real reporter. Look, Stanley, when you were at Ripley Auto, did you see anything suspicious? Anything at all? I won't make trouble for you. I just want the truth.
God, I wish I knew the truth, you know? I really do. No?
Well, if you think of anything, this is my number. This is my, you know, personal number.
You really think hundreds of women are looking for a guy like me?
Sure. I'm one of them.
Nico, a heavy-set bald man, hits a golf ball into a large sensor.
120 yards.
Dorian's escorted in by two henchmen.
Hello, Dorian.
Dorian looks annoyed.
Thanks for dropping by.
Next time, why don't you call, all right? Leave the delivery boys at home.
The henchmen push him onto the floor on his back, and one of them puts a gun to his head while the other sticks a golf tee into his mouth. Dorian spits it out, and the henchman puts it back in, then places a golf ball on top of it. Nico swings the golf club above his face like a pendulum.
The cops tried to shut the club down this morning. They say you've been using the place to run your own small-time scams. I get things like that, I start losing my concentration. My game, it goes straight to hell. You're good too.
He whacks the golf ball.
5 yards.
I'm fed up with you, Dorian. But I'm going to cut you a break. 1 week to get out of town. After that, I'll use your empty little skull to break in my new 9-iron.
The henchmen lift Dorian to his feet. Stanley's in bed asleep, stirring restlessly. A smile plays across his face as he dreams. In the dream, Tina steps out of the limousine outside Coco Bongo. Stanley takes a drag on a cigarette, then gives her a mean and moody look as he exhales.
You okay?
Car, sir.
A valet parks a stylish sports car.
I am now.
He flicks away his cigarette, then beckons her closer. She saunters over and drapes her arm around his shoulder. He pulls her closer and leans in to kiss her, but she suddenly turns his head sideways and starts licking his ear in his bedroom.
Tina, come on.
Milo's licking the same ear.
You can't.
Milo. Oh, come on. Don't believe it.
He sits up, sliding his legs over the edge of the bed, and turns on the bedside lamp. He looks over at the newspaper article, which he's taped beside the mirror. The headline, Bombshell Explodes at Coco Bongo, along with a picture of Tina singing and dancing.
Stupid. She would never.
He notices the mask on the sofa and looks shocked to see it there. He slowly approaches it, a look of deep apprehension on his face. He picks it up and holds it in both hands, staring at it intently.
No way.
He throws it behind the sofa, takes a few steps away, and then stops, his eyes alive with passion. He leaps behind the sofa. Lightning flashes from behind the sofa, and then the human tornado springs up and spins around the room in a blur of green. It whirls to a halt, revealing the mask wearing a snazzy yellow suit. He picks up the newspaper article and looks at Tina's picture.
Hold on, sugar! Daddy's got a sweet tooth tonight!
The mask brushes his teeth with an oversized toothbrush, blows his head with a hairdryer, then squirts shaving cream onto his face and whips it off with a razor. He rubs Milo's back against his face to dry it off, then puts on a yellow hat.
Ooh! Somebody stop me!
Uh-oh. Can't make the scene if you don't have the green. I better make a little step.
A van's parked outside the bank, emblazoned with Edge City Power. Inside.
How's it going, Frizz?
Looking good here, my man.
Okay, you boys are on your own now. I gotta get downstairs and make sure I've seen.
Do it. The doctor is about to operate.
Dressed in black, Frizz and three other men come out of the van and hurry over to the bank's entrance. One of them works on breaking the lock while the others keep a lookout, handguns at the ready. Suddenly, the swirling mask explodes out of the doors, the robbers ducking for cover. The mask screeches to a halt, holding two large money bags.
Sorry, fellas. Where's not what not?
The mask spins around and hurtles off down the street, leaving the robbers with befuddled expressions as police cars race towards the bank. They fire at the police cars, which skid across the road.
Come on, dude. You're not on the list, you're not in the club, all right?
An impossibly long white stretch limousine pulls up in front of the club, drawing everyone's attention. A valet opens the door and the mask steps out, a toothy smile on his face.
How do you?
He zips up to Bobby.
Are you on the list?
No. But I believe my friends are. Perhaps you know them. Franklin, Grant, and Jackson.
He fans out some banknotes, then flicks them into the air. The crowd go crazy, grabbing them, and the mask strides into the club. A stage sparkling with lights.
And now we present to you the most beautiful flower of the Coco Bongo, Miss Tina Carlyle.
A fan of Long Leaves part, revealing Tina wearing a short slinky dress, her back to the audience. She turns around, points at the crowd, then saunters downstage, running her hands over her body. Dorian to Orlando. Mask sits at a table and crosses his legs. A waitress hands him a menu. Tina rests against a fake tree and runs a hand down her body. The mask's jaw plummets onto the table, his tongue rolls out ridiculously long, and his eyes pop out of his head. The mask pulls open his jacket and a beating heart extends from his chest beneath his shirt.
What the hell are you doing?
We got trouble. You better come upstairs.
Come on, let's go.
The mask's face turns into a wolf face and he howls. The masked wolf whistles, then he hits himself on the head with a hammer, turning his face back to normal. He whizzes onto the stage in a zigzagging blur of motion and stands on a drum above the band. A spotlight picks him out.
Let's rock this joint!
He spins the drummer around, transforming his outfit into a funky suit, and the other band members are now dressed the same. Tina smiles, and the mask saunters over to her and tips her backwards. Photographers take pictures as Tina and the mask dance. Tina shimmies her body against his, then he takes her hand and she does a cartwheel before twirling around. The mask slides across the dance floor and grasps her by the waist. They dance in a swing style, then the mask lifts Tina onto his shoulders and spins her round. He holds her above his head and spins round and round, his feet moving frenetically. He lowers her down, then holding her hand, pulls her between his legs and gives a big smile to the crowd.
Smoking!
Ah, man. What happened?
Freeze has a bloody wound.
Someone hit the joint before we cut.
Here you go, buddy. Suck on it.
Dorian puts a cigarette in Freeze's mouth, but before he can light it, Freeze flops back, dead.
Eddie? Who did this, man?
Who?
Him!
Him! That's the guy!
That guy dancing with Tina? He's dead meat.
Come on.
The mask clenches a rose between his teeth, then dances with Tina, tango style, across the dance floor. The mask bends his legs from side to side like they're made of elastic, then wraps them around each other. He spins Tina round and round, her high heels scraping up clouds of dust on the floor. He flings her into the air, still spinning, and she whizzes round like a tornado. He yawns, checks a stopwatch, then opens his arms and catches her. Dorian storms in with his goons. The mask's holding Tina, and she stares at him with awe and wonder. He kisses her, and her shoes fly off her feet. Orlando shoots at the mask, snipping his tie. The end of the tie falls to the floor and transforms back into the fabric of Stanley's pajamas.
Hello!
Club's closed! Move it! You think I'm joking? Come on! Move it!
Tina, get out of here!
Get lost!
Okay, Twinkle Toes. I want to know where my money is, and I want to know right now!
Okay.
He produces an old-fashioned pull-handle calculator.
You've got 17.5% in T-bills amortized over the fiscal year, 8% in stocks and bonds, carry the 9, divide by the gross national product. Fortunately, funeral bouquets are deductible.
Ice this deadbeat!
Orlando fires, and the mask contorts his cartoon flexible body to avoid the bullets.
Shoot him!
The mask transforms into a matador, a Cossack, and Elvis.
Thank you very much.
Then he's a cowboy. Orlando shoots the gun out of his hand, then shoots him in the chest.
Oh, you got me, partner.
He staggers over to Orlando, then falls into his arms. He stares up at Orlando.
Hold me closer in.
It's getting dark.
Tell Annie M to let old Yeller out.
Tell Tawny Tim I won't be coming home this Christmas.
Tell Scarlet I do give it him. Pardon me.
Orlando's sobbing. An off-camera arm shoots into frame and hands the mask an Oscar. A cartoon audience comes into view.
Thank you. You love me. You really love me.
Dorian points a gun at the mask's head.
You're not going anywhere.
The mask bounces across the stage, dodging bullets. They're surrounded by police.
Hey, Calloway!
Drop it!
So you got a warrant this time? Or you just stop by for a nightcap?
What I got is probable cause. A couple of your boys were spotted knocking over Red City Bank.
Hey, easy, Junior. Give me a word of you.
And one of them was wearing a big green mask.
You know, for once, Calloway, you're right. Except it wasn't one of my boys. Maybe if you tried a little actual police work.
Cough them.
Hey, Lieutenant, we got a stiff upstairs. It's one of the guys from the heist.
Better call that high-priced lawyer of yours, Terrell. You and I are going downtown for a little chat. Get him out of here.
Calloway notices the fragment of Stanley's pajamas on the floor. He crouches down and picks it up, a look of suspicion on his face. Stanley's sprawled asleep in bed, clutching the mask.
Ipkiss, I know you're in there!
Stanley wakes up.
Police!
Oh my.
Open up!
Oh my God!
Ipkiss, I know you're in there!
Stanley opens a wardrobe, and money comes pouring out. He frantically tries to sweep it back in. Stanley tries to pull the frisbee out of Milo's mouth.
I'm coming! Okay, I'm coming! I'll be right there!
Stanley pushes in the money bags.
Let's go! Let's move it!
Stanley opens the door, still dressed in his pajamas.
Hi, Lieutenant. Listen, this isn't the best time right now. I just... Won't you come in?
Where were you last night, Ipkiss?
here, mostly. Is something wrong?
What do you know about this Mask character?
Mask?
Don't insult my intelligence, Ipkiss. He robs the bank you work in, and then I find this in the Coco Bongo. There can't be two idiots with pajamas like these.
Milo, no!
May I see those pajamas, Mr. Ipkiss?
Those pajamas, those pajamas were stolen.
Somebody stole your pajamas?
Milo's trying to get into the wardrobe.
I mean, what is this city coming to when a man's pajama drawer is no longer safe?
CCTV footage of the Mask zipping around the bank.
Wow, look at that guy. Nobody's that fast at my bank.
I'll say.
I don't know, boss. That's one hell of a rubber mask.
What did the lab report say?
Well, we got some fingerprints on some of the currency, but nothing matches Terrell's men. Looks like this guy beat him to the punch.
Get the bank employee files and run down the prints on a guy named Ipkiss, Stanley Ipkiss.
You figure it was an inside job, huh?
That's right, and all I need is a couple of prints to lock this whack job up till doomsday.
$50,000 to the man who finds that green-faced son of a bitch before the cops do. I want you to get the word out to every street hustler, to every lowlife in this town. You understand? I want him here tomorrow, alive. You still here? Come on, let's go!
The goons head out. Tina's sitting in front of Dorian's desk.
What are you looking at?
You're losing it, Dorian.
Oh, no. I'm not losing anything. Except maybe some extra baggage around here.
What is that supposed to mean?
You know, you weren't putting up much of a fight with that freak show last night when he tried to kiss you.
Did it look like I had much of a choice?
Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. Who knows, right? I'll tell you one thing. It's gonna be payback for anybody who crosses me.
Stanley saunters into the bank, glancing nervously at the policemen and forensics experts scattered about.
Ipkiss! We have a crisis on our hands here, and you stroll in over an hour late? If I have to put up with your slovenly behavior,
back off, monkey boy!
Before I tell your daddy you're running this place like it's your own personal piggy bank. Or maybe we should call the IRS and see if we can arrange a little vacation for you at Club Fat! That'll be all, Ipkiss.
Mr. Dickey hurries off.
Genius. That was genius. Buddy, I have chills. God, what side of whose bed did you wake up on, man?
I'm not sure. I haven't exactly been myself lately.
Well, you don't look real fabulous, Sam.
Really? Do I look bad?
Not to worry. This will put the color back in your cheeks, my friend. Two tickets to the charity ball at the Coco Bongo Club this Saturday night. Anybody who's anybody will be there. Want to be my date?
Charlie,
He sees Tina walk in.
Wait just a minute. Tina, what are you doing here?
I just wanted to thank you, but, I'm not sure if I'm going to have much to open an account with anymore.
What about the club? I thought you were doing great.
Look, it's not your problem. I'll be okay.
Tina, come here.
He goes up some stairs with her.
You didn't stop by just to see me, did you?
It's okay.
Tell me.
The guy they say robbed this place?
The Mask?
I think he was at the club last night.
Really? They say he's pretty weird looking.
Yeah, but you ought to see him dance. So did anyone find out who he is?
Why are you interested?
Just curious, I guess. Well, I better be going. Thanks for everything, Stanley.
You'd like to see him again, wouldn't you?
I, wouldn't mind.
I know him, you know.
You do?
We're old college buddies, him and me. It's
funny you should mention the way he dances, because...
He swishes over to her.
I taught him a couple of dance moves myself.
Do you think you can have him meet me tonight?
I might be able to work something out.
How about at Landfill Park?
Okay, sunset.
Perfect.
Super.
Thanks, Stanley. You really are a nice guy.
She kisses him on the cheek. Dr. Arthur Newman.
This is an interesting piece, Mr. Ipkiss. Looks like 4th or 5th century Scandinavian. Possibly a representation of one of the Norse night gods. Maybe Loki.
Loki? Who's Loki?
The Norse god of mischief. Supposedly he caused so much trouble that Odin banished him from Valhalla forever.
Then he could have banished him into that mask.
I'm talking about mythology, Mr. Ipkiss. This is a piece of wood.
But your book.
My book is about masks as a metaphor, Mr. Ipkiss. A metaphor, not to be taken literally. You're suffering from a mild delusion.
Oh. All right. I'm gonna prove it to you. But I am not responsible for the consequences. Just sit back and enjoy the ride, Mr. Expert.
You don't scare me, Mr. Ipkiss. Go right ahead.
See ya.
Stanley puts the mask to his face. He lurches back and forth, but nothing happens. Dr. Newman watches with an impassive expression. Stanley spins around and gyrates his body, but still nothing happens.
Okay! You said Loki was a night god. Maybe it only works at night.
Mr. Ipkiss, I feel I should warn you that I don't work personally with really sick people. They're private institutions for things like that. However, if you would like me to arrange for a safe environment for you tonight, I can do that.
No. I've got to see Tina. But what do I do? I mean, do I go as myself or the mask?
If I tell you, you promise to leave my office right now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mr. Ipkiss, go as yourself and as the mask, because they are both one and the same beautiful person.
Got the cross-check on the fingerprints for you. It's Ipkiss, all right.
I'm looking at him. Just keep the SWAT team standing by. If this guy's half as bad as he's supposed to be, we're gonna have a full dance guard.
Do you have the pickle relish?
Doyle, get in the car.
But I ordered onion rings.
Doyle!
It's nighttime. At Landfill Park, Stanley paces near a bench beside a tree, glancing at his watch. Kellaway and another detective are watching him from some bushes. Stanley sits on the bench and opens his briefcase. He stares inside it for a moment, then closes it.
No. No.
Stanley, what are you doing here?
Tina, hi. I just wanted to come by and make sure that you two got together all right.
Mm, that's nice. You know, I hardly ever stop by here. It's kind of hard to believe it was just a garbage heap.
Yeah, it's really beautiful right around sunset. The methane emissions really pick up the colors.
Wow. All those pinks and greens.
My friend will be along here any minute. I better go.
Stanley, wait. Stanley? Stanley!
He runs behind some bushes.
Hello, chérie. Où est mes tagay? Is it fate? Is it meant to be? Is it written in the stars that we are destined to fraternize? I'd like to think so!
He takes her in his arms.
Kiss me, my dear, and I will reveal my croissant. I will spread your pâté. I will dip my ladle in your vicious walls.
She knees him in the groin, then runs off.
She is so coy.
I love it.
He dashes after her.
Our love is like a red, red rose, and I am a little thorny.
Je t'adore. Je t'adore.
Je te window. I don't care.
This is Kellaway. I need backup, and I need it now.
Cigarette?
Nope.
He takes a drag, then blows a smoke circle, which transforms into a heart shape. He blows a smoke arrow from his nose, which pierces the heart.
Now, like Napoleon, I will divide and conquer.
Ipkiss! Police!
Merde.
Freeze!
He turns to ice in mid-stride.
Put your hands up.
But you pull me to freeze.
All right, on freeze. You're under arrest.
No, it wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
All right, I confess. I did it, you hear? And I'm glad. Glad, I tell you!
What are they gonna do to me, Sarge? What are they gonna do?
Sorry, son. That's not my department. Search him! Ow! Where's a camcorder when you need one?
Peggy's at her desk in the newsroom.
Ah, looks like it's gonna be a long night. My wife's gonna kill me.
What is it, Murray?
Cops got your pal Ipkiss staked out at Landfill Park.
Let me cover it, Murray. I really need this story. And then you can go home to Claire.
Oh, I don't know, Peggy. Ramsey said...
I will take care of Ramsey. Thanks a million. I owe you one.
Really big sunglasses.
White corn.
Smallmouth bass.
Wow.
Bowling pin.
Mousetrap.
Rubber chicken.
Little to the left. That's it.
I don't know.
Funny eyeball glasses.
I've never seen those before in my life.
Bazooka.
I have a permit for that.
Picture of Kellaway's wife.
What? Uh-oh. Margaret! You son of a bitch! Jeez, I figured you had a sense of humor. After all. You married her!
He slaps them.
That's gotta hurt. Get him! Dial!
The mask handcuffed them together. He zips out of the park and shuts the large park gates, nailing planks of wood across them. He straps a chain across the gates, then turns round to find himself surrounded by officers pointing their guns at him. His skull, eyes and tongue leap out of his head in shock.
It's all over, Ipkiss. Put your hands over your head or we'll open fire.
Hit it!
Spotlights shine onto the mask and suddenly he's wearing a flamenco costume, bright blue shirt with frilly sleeves and tight white trousers. He shakes some maracas and dances flamboyantly. One of the officers can't help but shake his shoulders to the beat.
They call me Cuba Pete. I'm the king of a rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
Some of the officers find themselves shaking their hips. He prances over the street and over to two women. He shakes his tush at the women, then runs up a plank perched on a frame like a seesaw, then slides back down it and springs onto a lamppost, the officers following him with their guns. He waves his hands at an officer and to her own amazement, she starts singing. He dances with her, and a group of other officers dance together. Kellaway and Doyle are climbing over the tall park wall. The mask dances with the officer on top of a police car.
Shut up and help me down!
All right.
The mask leaps off the car. The mask leads the police officers and a number of bystanders in an energetic conga. Kellaway and Doyle have climbed over a wall. Doyle finds himself moving to the music and Kellaway stops him.
You start dancing, I'll blow your brains out.
Kellaway commandeers a tear gas rifle and fires it.
See ya!
There he is! Let's get him! Snap out of it! Come on, this dance is over! Let's go!
Making his escape, the mask kisses a female pedestrian.
He's down the alley! Follow me! Come on! Grab your gun!
The mask rounds a corner in the alley. He jumps into a doorway, throws away his sombrero, then with great effort, he pulls the mask from his face. Peggy's car pulls up at the other end of the alley. The car tears away.
I missed him. Come on, we all missed him.
In the Tribune's printing works.
I saw it. I saw everything. What's happening to you, Stanley?
It's crazy. I'm losing control. When I put that mask on, I can do anything. Be anything. But it's wrecking my life. My life is wrecked. Wrecked. Wrecked.
Look, I don't know what's happening to you, Stanley. But I do know this. That letter that you sent my column, that was from a guy with more guts and more heart than any of the creeps that I've met in this city. Whatever that mask is, you don't need it. You, Stanley Ipkiss, are already all you'll ever need to be.
Gosh, Peg. Do you really mean that?
Actually, no.
What?
What took you guys so long? I've been vamping here for like 20 minutes.
Is this him?
You got the 50 thou?
Give her the money.
A case full of cash.
Right. When he puts on the mask, he turns into that green thingamajig.
Peggy. What are you doing?
Sorry, Stanley, but you really are a great guy. I just can't lose my condo. You know how hard it is to find an apartment in this city.
Stanley's dragged away.
You said you wouldn't hurt him!
I lied.
Dorian started an enormous printing press, and one of his men carries Stanley up to it. Two heavies dangle Stanley above a rotating mill of heavy steel.
Now tell me, how does this mask work?
I don't know. You just put it on.
Dorian looks down at the mask in his hands. He begins to raise it to his face, and a swirling vortex materializes above his head.
Us. You better be careful, huh?
Dorian puts the mask on, and his body is enveloped in tendrils of thick smoke. When the smoke finally recedes, the masks transformed him into a hulking demon with diabolical features and burning red eyes.
What a rush!
Oh, boss! You okay?
Better than ever, you idiot.
What do we do with Ipkiss?
The police are looking for the mask. So we'll give them the mask.
Stanley's gagged and lying in the back seat of a car. A henchman points a gun at him.
Money better be here, Ipkiss. Or you can Ipkiss your ass goodbye.
Two thugs break into Stanley's apartment. One of them finds the money in a cupboard and they start scooping it into plastic bin bags. Milo peeks out from behind a curtain at the window. He looks outside and sees the car on the street below. He sees Stanley struggling in the back seat and being pulled out of sight by the henchmen. Milo runs out of the apartment's open door. Down on the street, Milo peeks out from his hiding place in a doorway. He watches as the two thugs leave the building carrying the bags full of cash. They get into the car, which drives off, and the little dog races after it. Kellaway to Doyle.
Still can't believe it. Hardened cops dancing in the street and broadcast all over the 11 o'clock news.
The SWAT team got an offer to open in Vegas.
I'm history. The captain's gonna have my badge for breakfast with a little pension on top.
Ah, come on, Lieutenant. It's not all your fault. Something will turn up.
Sure. Stanley Ipkiss is gonna fall right into my lap.
Kellaway turns to see a car speeding towards him. Still bound and gagged, Stanley's thrown out of the vehicle and he falls on Kellaway.
Ipkiss!
Wait! I can explain everything!
Oh, yeah? Explain everything? Explain this! Get him up! Come on, let's go!
Placed in a cell, Stanley grabs the bars and sighs heavily. He goes to the window and peers down at the street below.
Milo.
You better forget about me, buddy. Find yourself a new place to live. Looks like I'm gonna be in here for a long, long time.
Milo mournfully lies down on the ground. The next morning,
hey, you, with the face. You got a visitor.
Tina.
Hello, Stanley.
What are you doing here?
Is it true? You're the mask.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody. If I get a good lawyer and strike up a deal, I can be out of here in about 10,000 years. You're taking a chance coming here. Your boyfriend might be a little upset.
He's going to the charity ball tonight. He's gonna do something terrible.
Like what? The Lumbata?
Stanley, this is serious. There's gotta be a way to stop him. How does it work?
I don't know. It's like it brings your innermost desires to life. If deep down inside you're a little repressed and a hopeless romantic, you become some sort of a love-crazy wild man.
And if you're somebody like Dorian?
Then we're all in big trouble. And if I were you, I'd get out of town. Fast.
Thanks.
For what?
Lots of things.
She steps closer.
Sharing a sunset with me. Being the only guy who treated me like a person and not some sort of party favor. For being any kind of romantic, even a hopeless one.
You're welcome.
You know that night at the club? I knew I'd found someone special.
The mask.
The guy inside the mask. It was you, all along. Stanley.
Okay, lady, time's up.
Could I have just one more minute?
I've got to disappear for a while now, Stanley. I don't know where I'm gonna go, but I'll let you know as soon as I can.
She briefly touches his hand, then goes. As Tina leaves the police station, she realizes that she's being watched by one of Dorian's goons. She quickly sets off along the street and the man follows her. Suddenly, Tina spots another man approaching her up ahead. Finding herself hemmed in, she punches him in the face. Stanley's laying toilet paper on the rim of the toilet in his cell when he hears Tina's screams. He looks out of the window and sees her being pursued by two men.
Chase through the alleyway there. Come on, she needs help.
Yeah, sure. Keep it down, Ipkiss.
Come on, servant, protect, man.
The guard ignores him, so Stanley returns to the window.
Milo. Milo, good boy. Jump up. Come on. Can you jump up? Remember how I taught you not to jump up on people? Forget all that. Okay, come on. Come on. Get up here. That's it. You can do it. Come on. Milo, put some effort into it.
The terrified Tina runs from an alley to see a car bearing down on her. One of her pursuers appears behind her and cocks the gun he's holding. The car stops and Dorian gets out.
Baby, there you are. I was beginning to get all worried about you. Can I still talk with the cops?
I just went to see what Ipkiss told them.
Oh, that's right. You and Stanley, right? You two are getting awfully close. Maybe it was you who helped them out with the back job, huh?
That's ridiculous.
Always?
Look what I found in her car.
You planning a little trip without me, baby?
No.
Boys, I want you to pick her out something pretty to wear, okay? Because we're gonna go to a party tonight.
We're gonna have one hell of a time, aren't we?
Yes. Get out of my sight.
Jump up. Get up. Daddy!
Milo leaps into Stanley's hands.
That's it!
Good boy. Good boy. Okay. See that man over there? He's got keys. Yeah.
Go get those keys.
Go get them. Go get the keys, Milo. Go get them. That's it. Yeah. Okay, get the key.
Milo picks up a piece of cheese.
No, not the cheese, the keys. Put the cheese down and get the keys. Go on, over there.
Standing on a desk, Milo puts his front paws on the armrests of the chair the guard's sleeping in. He then slowly pulls the keys from his breast pocket.
Sundown. It's almost time.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, darling.
A box of explosives.
Wouldn't want to start the celebration early, would you?
Tina looks fearful. Stanley's cautiously stepping out of his cell and approaching the still sleeping guard. Moving very slowly, he reaches his hand out to take the policeman's gun from its holster. The guard wakes up and grabs Stanley's arm. Stanley knocks him out with a blow from the gun. He then unlocks another barred door.
Warning you, I'm seriously stressed out here.
Easy, Ipkiss.
Come on.
Don't be an idiot.
You're in the middle of a police station. There is no way you're walking out of here like this.
You know, you're right. You're absolutely right.
What the hell are you doing?
You're gonna take me out as your prisoner. Put it on.
Put it on!
Ow! Come on. I'm really very sorry about this.
You sure?
Milo!
Got the wrong guy, I tell ya. It's a bum rap. I got my rights.
Hey, Lieutenant. Where are you taking Ipkiss?
Ixnay. He hates I'm gay and ungay. Ow!
Oh, I get it. Pig Latin, right? Ise, uye, aderle.
Dorian and Tina are riding in a limo.
Why don't you just sit back and relax, okay?
I've got to change for the party.
He puts on the mask. Bright flashes fill the vehicle as his transformation begins. In the Coco Bongo Club, a casino night is underway. A skimpily dressed hostess stands on a ladder emptying a bucket of cash into a large container shaped like a pig that hangs above a gaming table. Charlie approaches a girl selling cigarettes.
Need a pack of cigarettes?
Which brand, sir?
It doesn't matter, I don't smoke. But for you, I would shoot the Surgeon General.
Mayor Tilton, may we have a word with you?
Well, I always have time for the press and my loyal constituents.
A shifty-looking man adjusts his tuxedo jacket to hide the gun holster he's wearing. He joins Nico, who's smoking a large cigar, and they toast each other with shot glasses. Suddenly, the entrance doors of the club are blown off their hinges, knocking over a security guard and the man standing beside him. The guests all look stunned as the demonic-looking Dorian strides in with his cronies.
Let me out of these cuffs, Ipkiss. You're driving like a maniac.
I'm sorry, we're already late for the ball.
Right. Alice and the White Rabbit are going to be really disappointed.
Now you're being cynical.
Who the hell are you?
I'm just the next employee. Who's come for his back pay? Or should I say paid back?
Dorian?
Kill him!
Nico pulls out a gun and takes cover behind an upturned table as Dorian's men open fire. Even as Nico shoots back, his bodyguards succumb to the withering hail of bullets, and Dorian orders his men to cease fire.
Come on!
Nico stands up and fires bullet after bullet into Dorian's chest. Dorian strains and sucks the bullets up into his mouth, then fires them back at Nico from his mouth. Killed outright, Nico's hurled backwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will be your host for the remainder of the evening.
Stanley and Kellaway have pulled up a short distance from the nightclub's entrance.
Ipkiss, get your dog away from me.
I'm sorry, he seems to be attracted to you.
Wait a minute, where is everybody? Someone's not kosher here. Exactly! Watch it!
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm gonna have to lock you in. Use the radio.
What?
You know, call for backup or something. Milo, this could be dangerous. You stay here and be a good boy. Daddy's gonna have to go kick some ass.
He gets out of the car.
He's a dead man. I got the point.
As Stanley takes out one of Dorian's men, Dorian himself points to the cash pig hanging from the ceiling.
Blow it!
His men shatter the pig with gunfire, and money rains out from it.
Bastard!
What's the matter, darling? This is your big production number, and you know it's important to go out with a big bang!
Tina's tied to an ornamental tree trunk.
Charlie!
are you doing here?
Look, take this gun. Start sneaking people out the back.
Right.
You two, step back.
You don't know who you're talking to, do you?
Talking to a damn man if you don't step back like I said.
Hey, don't you have respect for law and order? What kind of thug are you, huh?
It's all set, Dorian.
Excellent. This party's over in 10 minutes.
This is the moment of truth. When a man shows what he's really made of.
Crap.
Drop it, Edgus.
Kellaway watches as Milo succeeds in opening the car door.
Smart dog.
Milo runs into the club.
Hey, boss! Look who decided to crash the party.
Hi, Dorian. How's it going?
Bring him up here!
Dorian! Dorian, wait, no!
There's no time for last requests.
But all I wanted was a kiss.
A kiss?
Just one last kiss.
Dorian, I can't shut this thing off!
There's always time for one last kiss.
Dorian's serpentine tongue slithers out.
From the real Dorian. The one I used to love. Nobody ever kissed me like Dorian, Tyrell.
Romeo! This whole place is gonna blow in a couple of minutes!
Just wait! I decided.
Dorian pulls the mask from his face.
Give her one last throw.
Whilst he's giving Tina a lingering kiss, she works a foot free from her bonds and kicks the mask from his hands. Goon after goon try to catch the mask, but it's the leaping Milo who succeeds. Lying near the time bomb, Stanley spots his dog.
Run, Milo!
I got him!
Stanley, hurry!
Don't worry, Tina. It's all over now!
Dorian punches Stanley. A henchman grabs one of Milo's back legs.
Gotcha.
Milo drops the mask and jams his muzzle into it. Immediately, his little body is consumed by a swirling whirlwind.
I'm gonna take you apart.
Well, I hope you can enjoy the victory with one friggin' eye!
Stanley punches Dorian and slams him into a table. The henchman holding Milo starts backing away in terror. Milo's pint-sized body now has a giant-sized green head with huge and viciously sharp teeth. The force of Milo's roar hurls the man backwards. Stanley's sitting astride Dorian and beating him into submission.
Winning.
Dorian decks him with a single punch.
Stanley?
Milo pees on the machine gun toting henchman.
Stanley!
Dorian grabs Stanley's hair, but Stanley lands a powerful punch on him, sending him flying into a fruit machine. Crane, green-headed canine, tears the seat out of a henchman's trousers.
Milo! Oh my god! This has got to be a new breed.
Easy, boy.
He removes the mask.
Good boy!
A bullet from one of Dorian's men sends the mask flying behind a bar, and Stanley leaps after it. The digital counter on the time bomb reaches 55 seconds. Tina watches in horror as the bar's peppered with bullets. Suddenly, the mask, dressed in a sharp 1930s-style suit and hat, jumps onto the bar.
Did you miss me?
He has a drink, and the liquid pours out of several holes in his torso.
I guess not!
The three goons quickly reload.
Now you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do ya, punks?
Faced by the mask's sudden arsenal of weaponry, the goons flee. The mask chuckles as little flags bearing the word bang pop out of his many guns.
Stanley!
In a blur of motion, the mask appears at Tina's side and grabs the time bomb. Opening his mouth to huge proportions, he swallows it and it explodes in his stomach, briefly ballooning his belly out. He gives a fiery belch.
That's a spicy meatball!
Getting to his feet, Dorian pulls a knife.
How do?
The mask spots Dorian.
This guy's incorrigible.
As Dorian rushes towards them, the mask paints a flush handle on the tree trunk and pulls it. Dorian jumps into a decorative water pool and instantly finds himself caught in a whirlpool as the contents drain out of the bottom. He's sucked into a giant plug hole and disappears.
You were good, kid, real good. But as long as I'm around, you'll always be second best, see?
The mask turns his attention to Tina. He flicks away a cigar, removes his hat, then pulls the mask from his face. Stanley gives a sigh of relief and goes to kiss Tina.
Police! Hands up!
All right. Officers! Arrest those men!
I've always wanted to say that.
Come on.
Give me that gun.
Dorian's henchmen have been arrested.
So all my children, you take me down to headquarters and I'll...
Stop that man! Ipkiss!
I've got you now, Ipkiss. Watch it, Chunky. Mayor Tilton, I'm
what
so...
What the hell's wrong with you, Kellaway?
That man is the mask.
No, Dorian Tyrell was the mask. I saw it with my own eyes. This young man here just saved our lives.
With a little help from his friends.
Wow, you're a real hero.
Doyle!
Well, that's nothing. Any American with balls of steel wouldn't do for his community. Milo, come on!
Hey, wait, that dog. Mayor Tilton, did you see that
Leave
dog?
The dog alone. I want to see you in my office first thing tomorrow morning.
Yes, Your Honor.
Boy, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, it doesn't sound good. What would sound good to you?
Breakfast.
Shut up!
It's early morning. Stanley, Tina, Charlie, and Milo are driving in an open-top convertible. They pull up on a city bridge.
You sure you know what you're doing, buddy?
I'm sure.
Then do what you gotta do.
Stanley and Tina get out and walk to a railing overlooking the river. Stanley's holding the mask and he looks down at it.
Sure you're not gonna miss this guy? When he's gone, all that's left is me.
Smiling, Tina takes the mask and throws it over the railing. She then puts her arms around Stanley and kisses him passionately. Charlie looks on with a smile, then gets out of the car. He rushes to the side of the bridge, and seeing the mask floating away in the water, he leaps into the river. But he's too late.
Milo!
Milo's swimming to the bank with the mask in his mouth.
Okay.
Your ordinary